Hello, my ladies, my gays, my theys, and the men who get it. This is Reagan.
This is
It's Kate.
Kate.
We are back. We did a fun little episode called Things Our Exes Did and We Stayed. And I posted a little snippet of said episode on Facebook. And I had someone comment, "Why would you stay?" And then, like, funnily enough, they were like, "Straight people. Straight people always say," I'm like, "Uh-oh, plot twist, gay." But I decided to have Kate back on because I think it's an interesting question. So, whereas we were saying the things we stayed for, this week we'll be discussing why we did stay.
A one, a two, a one, two. He's a nice guy, what a nice guy, till he's screaming in your face. And he's a nice guy, such a nice guy, but he'll put you in your place. And he's a nice guy, what a nice guy, till he gets caught. He's a nice guy, such a nice guy, until he's not. F the nice guy.
So, Kate, I do think, I don't know how good faith that question was, but I do think it's interesting because, well, one, that they assumed I was straight. I was like, I feel like you don't watch enough of my content, probably, because I do talk about it a lot. But I think it brings up a good point because it's like, I was never romantically like invested in men, even though I didn't know that at the time, right? Like, I didn't understand that. I just thought how I felt was normal until I, got with my wife, and I was like, "Oh my God, what is this? What was I doing before?" But it's like, how did that happen to me? How did someone who was not confused by like undeniable chemistry, like I wasn't blinded, by sex appeal or a lot of the things that I think most people will blame for staying in toxic relationships. I didn't have that, and yet those things were happening to me, and I was in those relationships. So I think it would be interesting to discuss, like, of the relationships we talked about. So if you haven't listened, go back and listen to that, listeners, because it'll make more sense with what we're saying now. Because we're not gonna rehash everything, but like, what were we thinking? Why those guys?
And I mean, I think to play devil's advocate, it's fair to have that question pop up because you are listening to two people go volley back and forth with some pretty, either dramatic or funny or ridiculous sounding things.
That was our best stuff. That was our
And
highlight
I
reel.
mean, I'm 35. This spans back to me being like 14 years old.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
this is a lot of years.
When I do videos, like when I make videos, usually it's like commentary on horrible shit men have done, toxic men have done. Particularly if it's the woman who's talking about it, when I comment on that, like 90% of my comments are not like, "This dude sucks," but are critical of the woman involved, or are like, "I would never do that, and here's what I would have done." And it's just fascinating how quickly, when we hear like men being the offenders, how quickly we blame the woman, and the reaction becomes the center of the conversation versus the action that caused the
It's
reaction.
all just the internalized misogyny is
Yes.
very apparent in a lot of people's reactions to hearing things like this.
Yes.
Like, yeah, of course, in a perfect world, I would love to go back and tell 15-year-old me to flip him the bird and walk out of the dance. Like,
Stop being so immature.
but I was 15 years old, and I
Right.
am on that end of the spectrum of having been absolutely blinded by lust and blinded by the need to be accepted and to be the one who's chosen. I was Meredith Grey in Grey's Anatomy. Pick me, choose me, love
The
me.
worst monologue ever. Like, I remember at the time being like, "It's so powerful." Now I'm like, "Girl."
Like, oh, cringe. But see, that's their reaction to us. But that was me. Like, so it's easy to be a spectator and say, well, if I'd have been in this situation, but you weren't.
Right, but you weren't. So shut up. No, I'm just kidding. I feel like when it's like imaginary people, like Meredith Grey is not real. Meredith Grey is a character versus like when people so confidently. Like I rarely on TikTok anyways, I rarely divulge like traumatic things, like very personal stories. Obviously on the podcast I do, but not on TikTok. And like the one time I did, like I had so many people being just such assholes about it. Like it was trauma light. I'll tell you in a trauma light way. But basically a guy, I took medication that knocked me out, and a guy tried to make a move on me. Because he thought I was asleep. Awful. And I talked about that because I was referencing that my friend was there and she was kind of a cool girl. And she did not have my back when that happened, and she made it worse, if anything. So I was just talking about that. And they were like, that was really, really irresponsible on your part. Like, you
Why are you
should
friends with someone like that?
know about like taking my medication, about the fact
Oh
like
my God.
he like got in my bed because he's like, I don't want to sleep on the floor. Can I get in your bed? I swear to God, I won't touch you. Like, is that cool? And I was like, whatever, because I'd already taken my meds. Obviously, that was a lie. The lie detector determined that was a lie because he immediately tried to touch me. It was horrifying because my meds were kicking in, and I was just like, it was a race against the clock to get away from this dude before I passed out. So it was like a horror movie, to be honest with you. But just letting that one go because it's traumatic. Yeah, I decided like I could share this and be okay, because it wasn't the point of the story. And so many comments were just destroying me, and I'm like, is that what you
But do you not have a right, though, to take your needed medication because there's a man present? Like, why are you the irresponsible one for taking your medication? Like,
Yeah, call me crazy. I mean, I am on meds. Call me crazy. But the fact that like you heard that story, and instead of looking at the guy who said, "Can I please lay in your bed? I will not touch you, I swear," and then waited till he thought I was asleep and tried to touch me. Instead of blaming him, let's blame the girl who's just taking her medication as prescribed. All victim blaming aside, because I'm not about that life and I never have been. I don't care what the person did in reaction when the action is the issue, right? I think Taylor Swift talked about that. We're always talking about the reaction of women and never the action of men. But let's talk about it. So, like, I've been thinking about that. I feel like I dated two types of dudes. Maybe we can start with like with the types of men. I either dated goofy, funny, weirdos. Like, no, I'll do three categories. Goofy, funny, weirdos, like eccentric and odd. Cocky, funny, weirdos. Which, oh, cocky, funny is Alpha Dom's term. Cocky, funny. Cocky, funny.
Ew.
I'm like, everybody knows that term, you fucking doofus. He's actually more predatory than a doofus, but hey. But they're like cocky funny. Like a lot of them were my size or smaller. But they're like the little short guys who are like kind of like funny and cocky and make you laugh. And then are somewhat immature, and then you just like kind of outgrow them, and then they never change. And then narcissists. Just like clinical, like nightmare fuel men. That's my types. And sometimes they pretend to be one and they're the other. So that's always a good time.
Yeah, I'm trying to like think how I would categorize my dating history. I would definitely say a lot of them, especially a lot of ones that were included in the stories I told or the situations that we discussed were like my size or smaller type guys, almost like a little bit of like little man syndrome. I don't know if that's
100% funny, little funny guy. Yeah, and then they never drop that, and they just into adulthood are still doing the same shit, and it's just less cute when they're like full-grown men. Yeah.
Like the guy who told me like the girl he was used to dating were or I'm was much more sturdy than the girls he was used to dating.
Oh, so that's why he said it, because he's little man syndrome.
He was a little guy. But he was funny. But he was funny and goofy, and that's why I liked him because
That's how they get away with it, man.
or I dated the very stereotypical like tall, dark and handsome, not to like brag, but that was my type. That's like what I went after, like the very
Yeah.
handsome men taller than me, muscles, like
Yeah, I feel like you dated some smoother guys.
smooth jock kind of attitude a little
Yeah.
bit.
That is not familiar to me.
But that was one of the men who refused to introduce me as his girlfriend after 6 months at an event. He was
To be fair, he was probably a predator. He was he To be fair, he married his student later, so So, which is funny because it's like, I guess he's like, once there's a ring on it, who can judge? I guess
Right.
this is
Yeah, it's love. It's true love.
the fact that nobody flags that is really like how the fact that he could go around in the community, like, how'd you meet?
He still
Oh,
works at that school too. Same school.
after he married. Okay, that's fun.
That's his yeah, as far as I know, that's the situation.
Good for that school, really looking out for the kids.
And I don't know how to like describe like in dating the funny little funny guys, you know, whatever. You know, I feel bad almost referring to them in that way.
No, it's literally a type. Like they
Yeah.
are, it's not like we're saying they're little to be jerks. Like they are smaller men,
Yeah.
and they're I stand by this 100%. I've experienced it. My friends have experienced. My mother has experienced. Like there is a thing of like these smaller guys who have this internalized misogyny, most
Yeah.
likely because bigger dudes probably mess with them and they pick up a sense of humor to
To
combat that,
overcompensate.
to
Yeah.
overcompensate and to have something to be cocky about. And they
Yeah.
have a cuteness to them that like you're like, aw, but then they start to get older and you're like, that
Yeah.
shit's not that cute anymore. You know what it reminds me of? Do you know, this might not be your wheelhouse, but Tom Schwartz from Vanderpump.
Oh, yeah.
So he was always the little like funny nice guy who would
Little
like cheat
weasel.
and stuff, and then
Yeah.
everyone be like, oh, he's so lovable. And now he's 40, pushing
Yep.
40. He might actually be older than 40, and he's still being a dick,
So
and
cringy.
he's still leading girls on, and he's still breaking hearts, and he's still like, I don't know if I want to settle down. And it's
Yeah.
not cute. It's obnoxious. And that's what it is. It's like they age out of the cuteness. So they double down and they just are
Yeah.
obnoxious. They just cannot, like, they are validation seekers, like, from the get go. But once they're no longer, like, cute little guys, they have to, like, double down to get more validation. They're the same guys
Yeah.
that, like, cheat and, like, it's like affairs at work. And, like, they'll put themselves in positions to be around a lot of women because it's like they are validation. Like, nah, 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 nah. Like,
Yeah.
I can't live without validation. You're like,
Yeah.
ew, dude, ew.
Yeah, but in like thinking in terms of like our discussion about why we did stay through things like that, it's like I think maybe I cut them some slack because of that. Because I was like, no, they're just insecure. They're
Yes.
overcompensating. It was almost like I subconsciously excused it because of that. It's like, oh, they didn't mean that. He didn't mean it. You know, he's physically smaller than me. He did not mean that to be rude. But like, who said that?
That's the thing. You're sturdy. You're like, fuck off. But it's interesting because I think it was I was talking to Kaylee Cressa and Chesco. I don't remember which podcast it was on, one of ours. But we talked about the fact that these men will get the benefit of conversations they did not have. And by that I mean the women in their life will like make excuses for them, like myself included. Like they will act like an asshole and will be like, oh gosh, this is probably related to his trauma with his dad, or like, oh, he must have had a bad day at work, or you know, oh, he's overcompensating. But like they never acknowledge these issues. They're not working on these issues. They haven't voiced these issues. They're definitely not apologizing for these issues. And it's like we just create these narratives in our head of what we
Yeah.
assume is happening to excuse the behavior of the men, and they don't even have to make an excuse because we're already doing it. That's what I
Yeah.
did with those dudes, is I was like, oh, he's just stressed out. Like,
Yeah. And like I was always a chronic people pleaser and I was always trying to see the best in people. So for me, the way that my brain worked was I would always rationalize these things to benefit the other person, to like
100%.
make up a story or an excuse or a reason for why they were doing something hurtful or why. And that's how I would like put it to the back of my mind or like move past it. I would never confront it. I would now I would for
Sure,
sure. Like
sure.
all these people who ask, why did you stay? Why did you stay? Well, yeah, again, it's easy to say now because
Right.
I wouldn't if it were right now. But I was young and figuring out the world, and I wanted people to like me. I wanted to be loved. I wanted to be a people pleaser. And, you know, a lot of these
Yeah.
things that happened, I would excuse for one reason or another and just keep
Keep trucking
trudging
along.
on.
Hoping for the best. It's
Yeah.
interesting. One of my favorite quotes is like, the benefit of the doubt never benefited me. because it only benefits these men, but we're trained to give them the benefit of the doubt. And like I was the same way. I was constantly excusing or like best case scenarioing everything. Like maybe there's some world in which like sturdy is a compliment and he means I'm, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm
but it's
strong.
right. But it's also like these aren't comments that happened as soon as you started dating them. These aren't comments like out the gate, they weren't saying these horrible things. They weren't treating you terribly. It is through this pattern of like love bombing or being really kind and even if they're not love bombing, they're just like normal like bullshitting, but they're like loving and funny and great, and then they just slip in these little one-liners that you'd be like, ooh, that felt bad, but they're great in other ways. And by the time they're doing horrible stuff, you're already so deep in. Like, there's a pattern to this. Like, I think people just have this assumption that these dudes are like that right off the bat. Like, we're into bad boys, and like they just treat us like shit, and we're like, awesome, I love that for me. But in reality, it's like, no, they started really nice, and then they started negging, and just these little subtle comments, and then little subtle comments turned into more aggressive comments, and then you're trying to people please, and you're trying to get back to the person that they were at the beginning of the relationship, which plot or like I guess spoiler alert, they never were that person. That was always not who they were. This is who they are, but you're trying to get back an imaginary person who never was there, and you think it's your fault because they tell you it's your fault. So you spend all this time trying to be better or do better or be whatever version of yourself they liked originally, and the goalpost keeps moving, and you're chasing this thing that'll never happen, and the whole time they're devaluing you, and you get to the end and you have zero self-esteem and you've been beaten down, and then it's really hard to go, and your life is enmeshed with them usually because that's what they do. It's like, it's not like it's not, if I would have walked up and these dudes would have done any of this to me like off the bat, I would have obviously been like, oh, deuces, bye. Like someone just said Merry fucking Christmas and thrown my shit. Like, yeah, obviously I would have left. But that's not how it was.
If I like categorized reasons why it was either one, I was making excuses for them, like I said, for like the little funny guys. Two, I had incredibly low self-esteem and was dating a very attractive man who I at the time deemed to be too good for me. So if he messed up, it was, but I'm still here, like type of added. Like that's how I felt at the time. If he would do something hurtful, I was accepting crumbs. Like, but I'm still here. I'm still
But he
with him.
still picked me. He's still
I'm
with
still
me.
going back to his house after this event where he called me just his friend. Like he still ex is choosing me. And that's a problem in itself. Like obviously I've worked on self-esteem since then, but that's where I would say that's the reason why it was acceptable to me. It was because I had very low self-confidence and self-esteem, or I was in a straight up abusive relationship, an emotionally abusive relationship, and I was in a state of delusion about what I deserved and what was happening to me. Trauma light, never physically, but for sure mentally and emotionally abusive. And we don't need to go down the road of victim blaming and abusive relationships, but that's definitely the reason why I let that stuff go and stuck around as long as I did because my head was in the clouds.
Well, I mean, you're literally trauma bonded to them. Like you're actually, your brain is not working correctly, and
And like I lived with this person. It wasn't just like a we can't just like break this off. It was a messy, just really unhealthy situation. And again, it didn't start that way. It didn't, there
exactly.
was a honeymoon phase. I didn't like enter into a
A
relationship with somebody
nightmare, and you're like, this is
who
great.
would leave me on a golf course or throw my computer against the wall or piss in my laundry.
Nobody starts there, right?
I mean, that's how he got me. That
But they also
little
like do
laundry
the
pisser.
old laundry pisser. They also do things like to make your self-esteem worse, like especially if they know you think they're great, like they treat you worse, and they will do things like to facilitate you. I mean, I guarantee you, I'm pretty sure the men you're discussing who you thought were above you in some way facilitated that. Like they'll do
Oh, for
things
sure.
to highlight that they have options, or that other girls like them, or like when they go out with you, they'll make sure to like leave you for a bit so you can see how popular they are, or like they don't like go out of their way to ease any of your insecurities or any of your fears, which like
No.
on the one hand, like we should all be secure in our relationships, and like there's an extreme other side of this where like people can
Yeah.
force other people to like make them less insecure. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when your partner knows you're insecure, so they actively do things to make you more uncomfortable so that you know, like, hey, I'm a prize.
Yeah.
And you could lose me.
They string
So,
you along just enough. It's a talent to
yeah.
really that to hit that fine line of like saying and doing really cruel things, but still making them think that it's their fault or that
Yeah.
they're not being enough or they're not doing enough.
It's kind of amazing how like how much lack of empathy is like really mainstream. Like or like really
Yeah.
common. Like we tell stories about men showing like zero empathy and like and if anything being malicious. And it's like really common to hear stories like that. You're just like, why is that allowed? Why are we just like not saying like, hey, those are like mind games. You're like really manipulating someone who you claim to care about. And I was like, oh yeah, there he goes again. He's trying to make me jealous. It's like, that's actually kind of sick. That's actually not good. Yeah, I mean, like on my end, it's like, I think part of why I had so dated so many absolute trash people, is because I like didn't have like the attraction element. So like when they would love bomb me, I did feel something. Like I felt like, oh, this is something because I had do like dopamine. I was being literally like bombarded with dopamine. And I'm like, oh, this is something. Or like guys who would be kind of cocky, like it was something different than the flat line that I had normally. It's like the people who get mad at like, you like bad boys or you like this. It's like, I don't think that's it. I think they like something. They like something unique. They like something that sparks something
Stimulating,
in them that's not the same old dude that walks up to him at a bar, hitting on him in the same way. Because it's like, yeah, it's of interest, but the guy is being manipulative and the girl doesn't get that yet. If like all guys hit on you the same way and then somebody comes who's a little bit different, like nice is not chemistry. It's just a personality trait. So if all guys are just being quote unquote nice, it's like, yeah, somebody who comes in with a big personality or who's funny, it does elevate them above like the status quo of like every dude you meet.
Yeah, especially when you're, figuring out your sexuality and you end up a lesbian.
Yeah, I was like,
That
I feel something. It's like, it's dopamine, and by the way, you're about to get a kick in the ass, which is a trauma bond. Like, it's called mental abuse. It's called emotional abuse. Like, ooh, this is spicy. What is this? Trauma. It's trauma. Like, that is what it is. That's the taste. Got it. Got it. But that's true. And like, I had an awkward thing where like I was invisible to boys. For up until middle school, like invisible up until middle school. And then, like, I sprouted like over a summer and wore makeup and straightened my hair. And all of a sudden, all these boys were all over me. And so I had this weird, like, I was like, oh, approval. I should get approval. This is good. This feels nice. And I think that set me up because, like, I definitely was someone who, like, really liked. I saw it as like friendships and someone caring about me, but it was usually someone just wanting to get with me. Like I think it took me a long time to understand, even into adulthood, how many of my guy friends were not actual friends. They were dudes who wanted to get with me, were hoping they could get with me, and then like eventually figured out they couldn't, and then all of a sudden those friendships went away, right? It's like I was set up, to believe like, oh no, you need approval, right? Like you need approval from men. And so when guys would be withholding of that approval, like sometimes would be into you and sometimes not, like that would make me want to pursue them more.
Yeah, I mean that's human nature. With the guys who were, the cocky jock,
Ugh.
suave,
Ugh.
Those for me were the guys I wanted the most approval from because it felt validating. It felt like I was worthy. It felt like, look who I'm being seen with. Look, he chose me. Like, this is a guy people find are very verbally like attracted to. This is somebody people talk about because he's very attractive. And like, I'm the one who's dating him. So like, I have to do everything to keep that going. It was almost like it was just self-deprecating and I don't know. I think I tricked myself into thinking that there was more of a there was a deeper connection there. But, I was kidding myself. I drug it out as long, or he drug it out, or we drug it out
He drug it out.
it just fizzled and
Girl, the love stories I made up in my mind.
yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. Like, you're convincing yourself. They'll say one little thing and it'll be like, drunkenly they'll say something like, God, I'm really falling for you, or something like that, and you'll be like, nailed it, I'm a princess in a Disney story.
This is how I dreamed of it.
Yep. This is I'm planning my marriage and my
I
wedding.
know. Like, he literally just is like, I think you're cute. And then the book is like, I think you're cute. He said as he stared into my eyes, thinking that I would be
Yes.
his forever girl. I knew in that moment he wanted to marry me. It's like, we just make these, but also that's the shit we watched. Like, growing
Yeah.
up, oh my God, all we ever fucking watched was movies where asshole men. There
Yep.
was like a cool, cute girl, or like a nerdy girl with a heart of gold who then got hot later. Like, and
Yep.
they would pair with these assholes. And then the assholes, guess what? It ends up they're not assholes. You just needed to like win them over. Like, she's all that. That's a good
Yeah.
one. It's like there were so many versions of that. Like, I can't even think of one where the dude was actually just like nice all the way through.
Yeah.
Like, I
Yeah,
guess
that was
Princess
what we were
Diaries,
taught.
but.
90s rom-coms, like that was what was the desirable relationship that our generation was taught to seek out. So when you nail a convention, nail, when
Uh-oh.
you,
Hey-o.
that's not what I meant to say.
Whoa,
When you
Kate.
snag or become committed to
Bone.
somebody who is, oh my God,
I know what you meant.
when you snag the guy that everybody is lusting over, who is the stereotypical like rom-com, what's the word I'm
Punk
looking for?
hottie.
Yeah, hunk. Like,
Yeah. Leading
you just kind of
guy.
like you'll go into like a state of delusion to just make it work because you think that's
So
what you're
true.
supposed to be doing.
You think about the man you thought he was, and then you're
Yeah.
like, oh, but he's still, it's like he never was that, but in your head he was. And then he
Yep.
does all that shitty stuff, and you're like, but think about the man in your head that he is. Think about that wonderful guy you
Yeah.
invented. Let's pretend he's that. I would do the same shit. I used to think these guys were so great and they would be so shitty, and I would just hold, like, the one dude, well, I have many that I would say I did that with, but like the groomer guy, I literally, like, and I think anyone who's been loved bombed before, I think, has had this experience where it's like a Scooby-Doo reveal, or like, I feel like, let me think, a better one is like you've been hypnotized, and then you, like, everything you thought you were seeing was not
Yeah.
true. When I was dating him, like, I genuinely saw him as that younger guy. Like, I saw him as that 24-year hot 24-year-old who, young high school me thought was so cool and so good looking and so funny. Like, even when he was like 28. And like, I still saw him through that lens. I still saw, which I guess is the point of grooming. I guess it worked. Good job, buddy. But I literally, like, I mean, I literally thought that. Like, I can think of the way that I saw him. And then after we broke up and I was no longer being manipulated by him, and I, like, took a breath, I would look at him and be like, oh my God, he
Yeah.
is not, like, he was like, he just, he, like, it's partially because of the horrible things he did to me, like, realizing that.
Yeah, but I bet also at that time, if you had seen that happening to like a friend who was asking advice from you, you would have been like, it's time to go, leave that. Like, it does something to you when you're in it, it's
You see that literally visually. Like, I swear to
blinders.
God, I saw him differently.
That's why it happens so chronically to women. The people who are commenting, easy for them to say because you're looking at someone else's situation and saying, well, this is what I would have done. In the same way that had you been asked by one of your friends at that time, you probably would have given them very good advice about what they should do because you're looking at it from an outside perspective. When it's you and you're in the situation and you have those blinders on and you're being manipulated or you're being, it's different. And I think that the people who are commenting are lying to themselves if they can't pinpoint a situation in their life where they were in the exact same boat or they don't want to accept that.
It's also, I feel like Abby Rosmarin talked about this, but it's this idea of like, if I convince myself this could never happen to me, then I feel safer. So by saying like, that would never happen to me, I would never do that. If I was there, I would have reacted differently.
Those are the people I hope this podcast reaches. Those are the people I hope eventually feel like they can start unpacking that in their own lives and feel more heard, I guess.
I would urge anyone who, like, when they feel that, like, audit on that differently. It's like,
Pause.
okay, one, is it helpful? Is it helpful at all to say that? Is anyone helped by you posting that? Like, because even if you, like, it's different if you're posting, like, hey, here's five things you can do if this happens. Like, just so you know, here's five safety tips. Like, if someone's outside your car, like, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who just blatantly are like, I would never do that, or.
Yeah, what was wrong with you? Why did you stay?
It's like, why are you responding like that? Like, what is the feeling behind that? And I think that's how you start to unpack it, because it's like, it's not empathy. Like, it's definitely not empathy. It's not care for this girl. Like, who is the villain of the story? When you're looking at who's the villain? No, not everything's clear cut, but some things are. If someone's a predator and someone's being attacked, obviously, hopefully, would understand like the guy doing the harm is the bad guy. So it's like, so why are you attacking the woman right now? And I think, I think all of us are guilty of that. Like, at some point in our journey, we've all been like, I mean, people listen to this all over the world, I guess, but I think a lot of us grew up in patriarchal societies, and a lot of us were raised to think that way. So it takes effort to unpack that, but like, you have to start questioning why is my first instinct to focus on the woman and blame her and tell her why she's wrong versus to focus on the man who's done something wrong? That's where the unpacking has to happen, because that is a bizarre thing that happens with women and men, and it happens all the time. I see it all the time. Like, at some point you're like, stop victim blaming. Like, you just want to like blanket statement it because of how prevalent it is. Like, I couldn't even respond to everybody that says that. But it is internalized misogyny why that happens, because you are blame y your instinct is to blame the woman because that's what you've been told to do. Like, she was asking for it. She did something wrong, as if to say, if men harm women, the women did something to deserve that, or did something, as if it is on the woman to prevent men from harming them versus it is on the men not to harm. And I think that's the internalized misogyny we have to address.
I sometimes get fearful of going down like a rabbit hole and being categorized as like a man hater for talking about this stuff, but the prevalency of it, prevalency, did I say that right?
That's a word. I don't know if that's
It's
the word you want, but that is a word. I think that's what you're going
of
for.
situations like that, whether if you're lucky enough to say you've never been in a relationship, like a personal romantic relationship with someone who has treated you this way, I can almost guarantee as a woman, you've experienced in the workforce. You've
Oh, yeah, for
experienced it
sure.
with your siblings' friends. You've experienced it with some male presence in your life. And this is not like to say all men are like this, because in between all these stories dating back 20 years, I dated a lot of
Sure.
really great guys. Like,
Sure. I dated great guys, even not that many, but some. I have great guy friends.
And it's like I think I said 9 or 10 different scenarios. I didn't make those up. Like, that's, and we volleyed back and forth, you and I both. Like, this is a problem and an epidemic for women.
Oh, yeah,
And
for
it's,
sure.
I think that opening the door to discuss it and really allow people to do that unpacking, and even the ones who are not showing empathy and who are commenting things like that and doing the victim blaming, like, I think there's still a lot of room for those people to step back and,
Of course there is.
yeah.
That's kind of the point. And it's like, it's interesting, like the man-hater comment, which I've done myself no favors by having a podcast called Mr. Pickme and the Man-Hater, but that was what they called me, and I just thought it was funny. But the thing is, like, the guys, like, their shout out to all the guys who are listening. Love you. But, like,
Yeah.
truly, there are so many men that listen to this podcast. I have the statistics of that. Like, I can see who's listening. I have so many guy friends. They never come to that assumption. Like, when I tell a story, like, they're horrified or like they have some reaction to it. But the reaction is not, you hate men. When I
Yeah.
talk to like non-binary people, my trans people about my experiences, they're
Yeah.
not like, you hate men. But there are men and there are women who come to that assumption, because in my opinion, the men are misogynistic, right? And the women have unpacked internal misogyny, because
Yeah.
on the one side, it's like, it's so much easier to say I am a man hater than to unpack what I am saying. And to
Yeah.
Because if you say I hate men, it invalidates all of my points. It takes any criticisms I have and it just throws them away, because, oh, you hate men, so nothing you say matters. And that's the easy way out, rather than to hear
Yeah.
what I'm saying. Because I don't hate men, and like, I know I don't hate men, so I don't care if people say
Right.
that I hate men. Like, that's why I've like put that, like, my name on the podcast, because like, I know I don't hate men. I have tons of male friends. I have tons of
Right.
men who are friends,
Same.
trans men.
Some of my best, closest friends are men, and I think
Yeah.
that this is also something that can benefit those people that we love and care about in our
Oh,
lives
yeah.
too, because it opens their mind to detecting these tendencies in the people they surround themselves with and calling it out. And just because you're saying this narcissistic person or whatever, this abusive person, that is not saying men are abusive. Men are narcissistic. You're talking about a specific event. You're talking about a specific relationship. You are unpacking something that unfortunately a lot of women can relate to because.
Well, that's also like, you're saying all men are bad, not me. I'm
Yeah.
saying this man did this to me, or I'm saying toxic men. Like, I go out of my
Yeah.
way to be careful with my language. And
Right.
if I say toxic men do blank, or a man did this to me, and you say you hate men, then you are actually the one that's saying that all men are toxic. Because if I'm talking about one thing and you say that's
Right.
all men, you're the
So,
one who's doing that. Like, I am not saying that. You're actually the one presenting that it's all men. Because, like, if it's not about you, then they say, there's that saying like, hit dogs holler or whatever,
yeah.
but it's like, it's true. Like, if
Methink thou doth protest too much.
me think at this hit home a little too close. I don't know why I did the same accent again, but honestly, because it's like, and this applies to anybody, like, just like, you know, if you're white and you're listening to a person of color talk about racism and it pisses you off or whatever, like, guess what that means? You have to unpack something. It's because if it bothers you, then something is hitting for you and you need to think about it. You need to reflect on that. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? And I think that's true of these things. It's like, if I say something and you have a strong reaction to it, now you could just disagree. Like, that's fine. You could just disagree.
Yeah.
But a lot of times what it is like, it's ringing true for you.
And you don't want to unpack
Right.
it.
And you don't unpack it. Like, yeah, like, it's like,
Yeah.
Secure men, like non-misogynist men, like, do not have that response when I talk about
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, and in the very beginning, you say, "And the men who get it."
Right.
That's how you intro the
I try so
podcast.
hard, but even if I didn't, like, there are so many men that can hear that and go, oh, that's not me. Like, if someone was saying like, women who have pixie cut hair do this, I would be like, oh, I'm a woman, but I don't, that's not me you're talking about, clearly,
Right.
because I don't have that hair yet. Like, if you are mad about it, you are relating to it.
Oh, you're making excuses for.
Yes. And again,
Yeah.
I get it. Like,
Yeah.
you know, we've all had to unpack our internalized misogyny, but like, you gotta unpack it. Like, you can do it, and like, there's a community ready to help you. Like, we're all doing our best here. Like, everybody's unpacking stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever too late. But it's like, just blanket saying like, Mah, no, man hater. Like,
Yeah.
you're not ever
It
gonna.
just it bugs me when I see that because it's like No, it's really sad because I don't hate all men, and every man that I've ever encountered in my life has not been toxic and horrible. But these men who have, and these instances that I've dealt with, have shaped how I grew and how my self-confidence developed and who I am today. And that is years worth of content to unpack in a podcast. I'm talking about the same men in most of these situations, the same scenarios, and how the different ways in which that impacted me, and the different ways in which I grew from that or learned from that or went through therapy to move past it. Like, people who are like, you're talking about all men as being toxic, it's like, I want to be very clear. I am not. I'm married to a very good man.
We love him.
I got my tall, dark, and handsome man who's also a good guy.
Yeah, he
So,
is. He's very
winning.
attractive, and he's actually really nice. I was like,
Look
are these, whoa, hello.
at
These
me,
still
high
out?
five,
Good for you.
Kate.
Good job, Kate. You got what you
So.
deserve. No, but he is great. But yeah, I mean, I don't even like when I see that, like, I'm just like, okay, you clearly do not even want to. It's different than like not agreeing with me or like like different points, maybe like you know, well, I think this, what, just blanket statements like, well, you hate men. It's like, okay, that's on you, not me. Because I know, like, I've gotten to a point in my life, like, I used to fight people about like things I knew were not true, like in the sense of like, oh, well, you did this because you're nasty or you're mean, like when you're with these like toxic dudes. You know, they'll like claim you did something that like you know in your heart of hearts, I didn't do that. And then, but you'll still argue with them to prove your point, to prove like
Defend
I'm not
yourself.
bad. Yeah, you'll defend yourself and you'll, oh, I can just, if I could just make them see. And I'm at the point in my life now where it's like, if someone is deliberately misunderstanding me, like is purposefully like not picking up what I'm putting down, in ways that make me look bad and has no intention of seeing my side or no intention of listening to me or no intention of actually having a good faith discussion. I don't
It's
try
not worth
anymore.
your
No.
energy.
What's because that's not what they're there for. They don't want to. They're not going to change. They don't want to change. Like nobody changes unless they want to, period. So it's like, okay. Like when people call me man hater, I'm like, okay. Like I don't need to respond to that because I know that's not true. And everybody in my life knows that that's not true. My listeners know that's not true. Like it's just a way of saying I don't want to deal with what you just said. So I'm going to invalidate you completely. I'm just going to throw a blanket thing over it and be like, "Oh, nope, just forget everything she said."
And what a liberating thing to not feel the visceral need to respond to that anymore.
Oh my God. I mean, I used to do that all the time, Kate. I used to waste so much fucking time. Literally, I would just like, no, like if I could just like with men, when they would be misogynistic or when they would be harmful to me, when they would do something so clearly to hurt my feelings. I would be like, oh, if I just explain it again, how them saying some girl was fit when I've gained weight because of a medical emergency, like a medical issue, if I could just explain that to him, why that hurt my feelings, it's like, no, 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 no. Don't do that. You don't need to do that because all of that is a symptom of giving men the benefit of the doubt and making excuses for them because those type of arguments are like those. You know, the hundred upon hundreds of times that I explained myself to a man, I was going under the assumption that he did not mean to hurt my feelings. He did not mean to say something that was unkind. There must have been some misunderstanding. He must have had good intentions. And they didn't. Most of the time, they didn't. And if anything, they never assumed I had good intentions. They always like, they will just like, think the worst of you, or at least say that to you so you feel bad. But it's like, you know, I think in a perfect world, assuming the best of people is great. I think in a perfect world, being optimistic, I am an optimist, but there are also areas that I'm a realist. And in the same vein of like, you know, sometimes people say like, man, you're man hating when really you just have standards for men because you know how great men can be. I think that's the same. We're in the same, like on the same page here, which is like, you should think men are capable of the bare minimum. You should think men in relationship with you understand you enough, because to hold them to a standard of like, you knew that would hurt my feelings. Like I would literally hold men that I was dating to the standard of like a toddler, like emotionally.
Like, yeah, that's what I mean. I was grasping at crumbs. Like I was accepting the bare minimum. Just,
but like, I need to explain this to him, or like, why, or let me explain his feelings, or let's break down why he feels this way. Or when he screams at me, he's really sad. So let me, it's like, you do not need to do that emotional labor. That's not up to you. If he cannot do that himself, then he's not ready to be in a relationship. And women as a whole in this society have been taught that that is a burden they are meant to bear with men that they are in relationships with.
Yeah.
And that is not the case. You are not meant to be your partner's like therapist and emotional processor. There's a difference between talking out issues with your partner and them literally not being able to process emotion without you.
Yeah.
That's why, like, I saw this post, I never remember who did it or where. It's like, you know, you're scrolling through your feed, you just see something pop up, you're like, oh, that was interesting. But someone was talking about the fact that when their ex would come back up, they would feel like, oh my God, they really care about me. No, you were just using me because you had no one to process your emotions with. And it's like, so often these men will come back into your life because they literally lose like their girlfriend or whatever. They don't have that girl that processes their emotions with, and they don't know how to do it on their own. And it's like, this is a role so many women find themselves in. Like, I used to do it with my guy friends. I'd still be processing with my exes because I didn't know how to have boundaries. And like, it's like, I care about you, so I should help you through this. And like, of course, I'm still a very empathetic and compassionate person. And people who I have relationships with, I 100% hear them out about whatever they need to talk about. But what these guys are doing is they're using you as a processor. They come in, they process, they exit.
They learn nothing.
They learn nothing. They're like, oh, it's just like when they scream at you or whatever, and then they're fine and they want to keep going about their day because they have used you as the vessel of their trauma, and they feel comfortable and entitled to do that. And that's the thing with misogyny, is they feel entitled. We all have trauma, but misogynists feel entitled to put that trauma on a woman. And so it's like, I for so long also thought that, like, I also thought that was fine, and I would let myself be that person. And then it's finally like, this doesn't go both ways.
Yeah.
You're not helping me. Like, so many guys I dated, I mean, I think they would like listen to me talk sometimes, but it's not like they were giving me advice. They weren't particularly helpful. Like, they weren't helping me like be a better person. And I would say I'm not the best person in the world, but I tried so hard to help my exes process their emotions, to like, basically I was their therapist, or like, you know, help them with their careers and help them with their schooling, and like, you know, hold their hands through experiences. And like, it was like never reciprocal. It was always just me doing most, like most, if not all, of the emotional labor. And like, that's not cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy to me, because like, I look at my life now with my wife, and like, she gives me the best fucking advice. Truly. Like, she is so great. Like, God, like, I could cry thinking about like how many times I've been like totally confused and not knowing what to do. And she just listens, and she gives me good advice, and she like, you know, holds the line when she needs to, and she's soft when she needs to be. And she's like really helpful to me. And I was like, oh my God, I've never had a guy do that. Like, I really had not felt that way for in relationships. And I used to say, like, I didn't get why people would say their best friend was their partner. I was like, or their boyfriend, I guess, back then.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. You know, because I didn't know that was possible. I didn't understand it was possible to have your partner be someone who you have that bond with. But I think that's a product of like gender roles and thinking like, oh yeah, no, guys can't. And there are plenty of guys that can, because like there are guy friends that I have that I talk about stuff with. But it was just the guys that I dated. I didn't ever, and I didn't expect it either. Like I was like, oh, this is just how it is.
Yeah. To me, it was like, if I considered my boyfriend my best friend, it was because he made me laugh, or it was because like, you know, we had the same a group of friends and we had inside jokes like, oh, he's my best friend. There wasn't that need to like genuinely emotionally connect and grow together, and like, because I didn't know that there was supposed to be.
Right. And that's a good point. It's like growing together. Like I always felt like I was dragging them behind me, just like they would make, I don't know, just like, I guess like immature choices, or like just they'd be selfish, or you know, they wouldn't. Like the empathy was not strong with a lot of them. And so I was constantly like, it's not that I was this great, wonderful person, but I was very empathetic. You know, I cared a lot about other people. And that's a strong suit of mine. It's probably too much. But like, that's not like, now that I'm with a partner where we grow all the time together and we equally push each other and we equally like uplift each other and we're both, you know, 100 times better people than when we met because of each other. It's so crazy to look back of those times I dated people who like, you know, I genuinely dated people who I felt like if they weren't with me, they probably would have been pretty shitty. You know what I mean? Like, which also, by the way, that means they're shitty. Like there's that whole saying of like, if the dog has to have a fence to stay in the yard, then you probably shouldn't have the dog. I don't mean that literally, but I think Dr. Phil said that, and he sucks. But just this idea of like, if you have to be there for them to be a good dude and a good person, then they're not a good dude or a good person.
Amen.
So they're just somebody who is being regulated or like watched. But yeah, I think aside from all the reasons we've mentioned, just we were set up to believe that men were capable of less, should be expected of less, especially like emotionally in relationships, and like they had a lack of understanding. They just didn't know better. You know, the boys will be boys thing. And that's not true. And like part of realizing that is understanding how great men are and like how great they can be. Like, which, you know, the opposite of whatever, what like trolls on the internet say. It's like, no, I know how great they can be. And it's like, damn, once you're around like really good men and you look back at the other guys, you're like, shit, like.
That's exactly it. Like, we can only have these discussions because we know how good men can be, because we have those good men in our lives. Otherwise, we'd be right where we were before, holding that to our highest standard, rather than holding like people like my husband and the men who you've developed friendships with, and the men who I've developed friendships with. Like, this is a discussion about accountability and awareness, because, growing up, I stuck around these situations because I genuinely thought it was my duty to do so.
And that was like validated by everything.
Everything. The
Other
TV.
friends, the TV. Yeah, that's the crazy part is like, and I've talked about this before, like I think I was closeted for so long, and dating men for so long. Because symptoms of being a gay woman in a relationship were common amongst women, like you know, guys pushing boundaries when you didn't want to, and like guys kind of treating you in a shitty way where it didn't feel good, and like not liking your partner a lot. Like, you know, I'd be like, oh, they've really pissed me off. I'm angry all the time, which was probably a symptom of like. It wasn't even necessarily them. Like sometimes it was just like, I'm sure part of me knew like this is not right. This feels bad. And I was like, oh, I'm mad at them. But you know, girls would be like, oh yeah, my boyfriend's a piece of shit up half the time. I can't stand
I
him half
didn't
the
know
time.
how to label what low self-confidence was for a long time.
Yeah.
Like,
Because we all had it. We were like, they were calling Jessica Simpson fat and you know,
Oh
like
God, yeah.
from my experience of my friends thinking about that time, especially when I was like, you know, high schoolish. High school, college, it was like we were all fixated on ourselves and like we weren't thin enough, we weren't pretty enough, our hair wasn't, you know, like all of these things. And really, validation was the best thing you could have.
And like, look at the really, we've talked about it on episodes like the Nick Lachey episode.
Oh,
You
yeah.
that was a show we all watched, like whatever, the Newlyweds or whatever it was called. And you're seeing him speak to his wife this way, and you're seeing her, a very beautiful, well-known actress,
Stunning.
stunning woman, having that roll off her shoulders and like accepting it. So like what were we meant to believe was acceptable when we're seeing that everywhere?
Yeah. And I also feel like we were the generation under, like, I saw a lot of that with the adults when I was growing up, like men talking to their women's like shit, like treating them like shit. Like, it was widely accepted, like just being condescending and like snarky and like making just asshole, making asshole remarks about their wife, like talking to other dads about it. Like, that was not uncommon for me. Like, men throwing hissy fits was not uncommon.
Oh, hearing the way that some of my friends' dads would speak to their moms when I would be at their house, like for a pizza night or something. It was,
I guess
we,
that's normal.
I think our generation falls into that category where, like, that was normal until we hit like our 20s. And then we really hit the growth of like accepting therapy as normal, accepting mental health struggles as normal, accepting that sometimes medication is needed, accepting that there's childhood trauma that needs to be unpacked. So we're that weird generation of having experienced both extremes. And now we're here in our mid-30s to talk about it.
No,
So.
and I mean this like wholeheartedly. I'm not being facetious. If you're like, why would you say, like, if you genuinely are asking that question, I'm glad. If this seems bizarre to you, like, I'm happy you have not experienced that, something that would lead you to feeling that way. Like, I hope that women down the line, or anybody, and non-binary, trans men, and like literally all people, I hope they hear these horrendous behaviors and think, "Oh my God, that's horrible." Like, I don't ever, I've never experienced that. Like, how does that happen? Like, that is the goal, is for this to be so crazy to people, right? Like, this would be a rare thing. But in reality, like, as it is right now, it's not that it's rare. It's like people are finally talking about it. And so it's surprising for a lot of people, but it's not rare. I think most people, obviously the last one was extreme without any context, so it sounds bad, but it's like most of our stories, I think, people can relate to and have experienced on some level, because it is so common to be treated that way.
And if you can't relate to it, or you genuinely don't feel you've ever experienced that, it's still important for you to hear that that type of behavior exists in the world, because you have people you have the potential to influence in your life, children, nieces and nephews, like kids growing up who may very well not be as lucky as you. And you know, it's a discussion for everyone on the whole spectrum to have.
And understand, I'm glad you said that, because understanding like what causes those behaviors, right? Like, because it's not like, you may not hear somebody come out and say, my boyfriend did this to me. If you hear them saying things about controlling behaviors from men, you may see the subtler signs, right? So it's important to understand like what that leads to and where that goes. And it's important to unpack your misogyny, because and all, like, all isms, right? But in this case, I'm talking about misogyny, but sexism being the ism, obviously misogyny doesn't have an ism to it. I mean sexism, but it's important, because this is a painful fact, but when I was dating the worst guy, the groomer, a friend of mine, I told her some of the things that were happening to me before, I'll keep it trauma light, but before some of the worst things happened. And she said, I'm trying to keep it trauma light, but basically he was being horrible to me because I was saying no to him. So he was like literally throwing hissy fits and screaming at me. And I mentioned that to a friend. And they literally said, well, you know, that's how guys are when they're not getting any. But had she, like, she was someone I really trusted. And had she said to me, hey, I'm not blaming her, just for the record, but had she said, like, hey, like, that's not right, like, that's scary and you need to get out of it, like, I would have listened and I would not have had the other worst things happen to me that happened to me. And that's the scary part is like, if you don't unpack your misogyny, even if it's not in your own life, like she didn't say that because she's a horrible person. She said that because she believed it. And she had had horrible things happen to her. And so she believed what she said. So that's why she said it's me. So it's like,
yeah,
we have to unpack it. It's not just for ourselves. Even if you haven't, say you haven't even experienced it, but like, it's yeah. important to know because you never know like what impact you can have on a person. Like if you unpack your misogyny, you could save somebody with a comment. You could save somebody with your support, just being positive. Like, oh, this is, that's like, he sounds like a great guy. If he's being a great guy, or like, hey, these are some red flags that I'm seeing. Like we can help each other because it is really hard to see in the moment. And maybe people don't listen when they're in these relationships, because I didn't all the time, but there are opportunities to help people by understanding what the red flags look like and what the smaller behaviors are before they get into bigger, more abusive behaviors.
Yeah.
And like, that's why it's important to listen. Like, even if you're not in a relationship, like I'm constantly still learning, even though I'm married, you know, because it's like, I want to be as knowledgeable as I can be. So I can be as helpful as I can be because, yeah, I mean, I'm raising a daughter, like.
Same. Yeah, that's why. I mean, my main focus is like, yeah, I want to stay in the know. I want to stay in the conversation because I got daughters to raise and I'm going to be their biggest advocate and their biggest support. So, you know, the more I know, the better I'm going to be able to parent them and guide them. And, you know, the more open I am, I think there's mm-hmm. a lot of value in being very open about my sure. own experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And the easier it is for me to work through my own experiences and discuss them, the easier it's going to be for me to have those discussions with my children. So,
yeah, I think that's a really good point. It's like, it's good to, you don't want to be working it out.
Yeah, I don't want to, this is like my therapy in preparation for when my girls become preteens.
I know. Oh, yeah, because it's so real. Because I remember, like, I think you're the same way. I, like, don't make my daughter hug someone if she doesn't want to. Like, I am very much about bodily autonomy with her. But
right.
There's so many things that come up. You're like, oh, that was weird. Like, all the times I was forced to hug people are, like, creepy yeah. people would want to hug. And you're like, okay. Like, because it was like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Anyways, there's just a lot of instances in which like being knowledgeable and hearing other people's experiences
yeah.
is very beneficial for you and for others. And like just having more empathy when you hear yeah. instead of saying like, I would never do that, thinking, what is the situation in which this was happening? Like it's I get being like, that's crazy. But like, how did that happen? Like, what is the circumstance in which a very illogical, because it is crazy. It is crazy that we stayed like, but yeah. there was a crazy circumstance in which we did. We were made to, we were victims of, you know, manipulation that was crazy. Yeah. And instead of saying like, oh, that's crazy, I would never do that. It's like, think like, oh, that's crazy. Like, how did we get here? How did this happen? What are the systems that are in place that allowed for this? What is the power dynamic? Like, I think being a little more critical of like how this happened versus being critical of the person it happened to.
Yeah. Word.
All right, Kate. Well, I feel like that's good.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
No, I feel like in discussing it tonight, there was like realizations that I came to as we were talking, like in thinking about how our, like I said, our generation is that really unique position of having experienced, I mean, so much growth in so many ways, technological growth,
right.
Everything like it puts us in a really like an unprecedented position to be able to discuss having lived in both realms kind of, yeah, and having been raised sure. to accept certain norms to be acceptable, to be a goal in a relationship, and now to be still young and able to unpack that and relearn or unlearn
mm-hmm.
and discuss it openly, because we are also the generation that is very open to therapy and to unpacking trauma.
We love therapy here.
Yeah. I mean, It's kind of cool. I feel kind of lucky to have been born in a generation that got to experience so much growth like that.
Yeah.
I think that has a really big factor in why we can sit here and talk so openly about it. It may be
Yeah.
shocking to some people, and maybe these people who are commenting are in an older generation to where they're like, oh, well, why are these people being so open about these situations? Like, this is shocking to hear
Facebook is
this.
not your personal journal.
Yeah,
Stop it.
this isn't a diary, but
Why
like,
are they doing? Why are they being so open about their feelings? Bottle it up, store it away, never address it.
I think that it's cool that
Yeah.
we can all get into the nitty-gritty now comfortably and confidently, because I think that's where the growth happens, and I think that's how the world changes. So, you
Yeah.
know.
Well, I'm glad we did this conversation because when I got that comment, I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
We really should talk about it because it's like, I mean, I think we talk about it a lot, but just addressing like, you know, we kind of we're doing the funny part of it, which is like, this is some crazy
Yeah.
shit we let happen, but it's
Yeah.
like,
We're just as embarrassed, self-deprecating to laugh about it, because it sounds
yeah.
just as ridiculous to us.
Right. But I feel like it's not a full picture if we didn't discuss like, okay, well, here's
Yeah.
actually why it happened though.
Yeah.
Because it's not, it wasn't like we joke about it. This podcast
Yeah.
is fun. Like we joke and we laugh, but like it's usually pretty. The stuff that
Yeah.
happens, not funny.
Yeah.
Not
It's a
funny.
little heavy.
It's a little heavy.
We can look back now and laugh.
Right. But it's like we need to address that these things didn't just happen. There's reasons that
Yeah.
they happened. And I don't want anyone who's experienced what we've experienced to ever feel stupid or like naive or
Yeah.
dumb
Or like they're
for what
being laughed
happened,
at.
right?
Yeah.
For what happened to them. And it's like, because, you know, if everything we're met with, like, and I'm met with online, like people in real life are met with too,
Yeah.
victim blaming is nothing new. It's been going on for literally ever. But just remembering, like, if you've ever been in a situation where you had something happen to you that was terrible, it's easy to look back and be like, well, I shouldn't have done this. I should, you know. But a lot of the times you were victims of manipulation or you were young or you know
Yeah.
you were raised a certain way. Lord
Yeah.
knows if you had issues with your dad, how often that comes up, although
Yeah.
men have more daddy issues than women, I think.
Yeah. And I don't think our generation had older women to look up to feel that we could confidently go to for guidance or for support. Where now we're trying to be that
Yeah.
for the younger generation, like knowing this
Facts.
is a safe thing. You can come and reach out to influencers and creators who are out here putting it all out on the line and being willing to discuss it, because it is okay to talk about it. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay. You have support.
Yeah.
We've been there. We've experienced it. You're not going to be judged or laughed at. Like,
Yeah.
I don't think I at 14, 15, 16 years old, I would have felt okay to go to somebody in their late 20s or 30s, or I would have been embarrassed. Like, it just
Yeah.
didn't feel like something you could talk about.
And I think that was when we were growing up, I feel like that was the age of like, if anybody was like giving advice or like being open, they were like, I know everything, or like, you know,
Yeah.
I'm an expert, or I'm healed, or I'm this, or I'm that. I have it all together. And like, I kind of enjoy being the person who's like, you know what? I
Yeah.
don't have it all together. Honestly, some days I don't have it together at all.
There's
But
so much value in vulnerability, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah, it's just like we're just literally just like everybody else, and we're trying to get through what we've been through in the past, and we're just trying to be open and honest. And if we help people, it's great. We help ourselves at least.
Yeah.
This
Hey,
podcast.
I feel great after every recording.
I know. It's our little therapy session. I hope everybody else feels like it's therapy or at least like validating in some way. But thank you, Kate, for being here. As always, we have a Patreon. If you want to check that out, it's got some extra content on it. And if you enjoy this podcast, leaving a review is very helpful on Apple or Spotify, wherever you're listening. That would be awesome. And as always, my friends,
F the nice guy.